All right, so this January 23rd, 2017, the 25th day of Teves, Tavshanayin Zayin, we are doing Halacha Day, a little out of order, but Halacha Day of Perek Yutes, and not quite a specific Halacha to cover, but a very important concept to cover, and that is something that is deduced over the course of this parsha. So there is a question, as we went through our Chumash and Rishum, there is a machlokas in the Gemara about which day the Matan Torah was, and there's a whole issue of Moshe, Hashem telling Moshe that you have to tell them not to be with their wives for today and tomorrow, and Moshe on his own adding in a third day. So the Gemara comments in Shabbos Pei Zayin Amud Aleph that there are a couple of things like that. Where is that? There it is. The Sanya, as the Brisa tells us, Shloshim Dvarim Asa Moshe Midaitu. There's three things that Moshe did on his own. V'hiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo, and Hashem agreed with him. So Hosif Yom Echa Midaitu. So this is our parak that he added one day of abstinence on his own reasoning. Okay, that's number one. Second, Upeirish Esaisha. He separated from his wife. And the third is Vishibir Saluchos, that he broke the luchos. That when it came time to break the luchos, he did that. Hashem didn't tell him to do it, and yet he did it. If you look at the very last Rashi in Chumash, a friend of mine told me that when his engagement, when he broke his engagement with somebody, so one of his companions told him, take a look at the last Rashi in Chumash. He opens up the last Rashi in Chumash, and what does it say there? So it's a reference to the idea of Moshe breaking the luchos, and it says at the end, Yashar Koach Sheshibarta, that Yashar Koach that you broke it. Yeah. So that's a little bit of a nechama, of a consolation. But anyways, that's on this Gemara. This Gemara is where Hashem gives a Yashar Koach for breaking the luchos. Okay, so then the Gemara continues on. Let's say, how did Moshe figure out? How did Moshe deduce this idea that we're going to add a day onto Bnei Yisrael in terms of their abstinence from their wives? So my darsh, how did he figure it out? So the Gemara says, Hayom u'machar. Hashem says, today and tomorrow. And the Gemara continues, Hayom kimachar. That today has to be like tomorrow. Ma'la machar lelo imo. Just as tomorrow will include the night before. So af hayom lelo imo. So to what today is means to include the night. So therefore today can't be today, because today didn't have abstinence of the night before. I wasn't told about this the night before. So rather, v'layla idna nafkale, however, the night of that day, right, it already was over. So shema mina trei yomi levar mi idna. So therefore it has to be 2 days besides this day. Therefore Moshe knew to add on a day. So Gemara says, how do you know that Hashem agreed with Moshe's assessment, with Moshe's ideas? That the Shechina did not come to Mount Sinai until that Shabbos. So how do we see that Hashem agreed with him? Because the Shechina didn't show up. Moshe was playing with dates. So if the appointment didn't come until a day later, that means that Moshe was correct.
Was that 3 nights?
So there's a bit of a problem here because it seems that that the total Moshe then had was not 72 hours, but rather 48 plus the day, like 50 hours or so.
12.
Right, that's what it sounds like. But the real requirement in terms of, what are we concerned about, by the way, just so we know, what are we concerned about? So in the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, in order for a woman to start counting her clean days, a woman has to count 7 clean days before she can get to the mikvah, so she has to make sure that she does not have any of her husband's semen left inside of her. So how long does it take to get that semen out? So the Gemara says 72 hours. For a woman, for the 72 hours following a marital cohabitation, the man's semen is still alive, so to speak, within the woman. So if it comes out of her, that's going to impose an impurity on her for 1 day. So therefore, before a woman could start counting her clean days, 72 days have to pass. 72 hours have to pass, right? 72 hours have to pass. So now, in terms of our halachos, we paskin, Ashkenazim paskin, it actually has to be 5 days. Somehow you get from 72 hours to 5 days. How do we do that? So that's for another time. But it doesn't seem like you're solving that issue here, unless you assume that, well, the Torah wasn't given till the next morning, right? So it wasn't given until the next morning, so it's actually 72 hours, right? 72 hours from the time that Moshe was given these instructions. And that might be how they work that out. So that wouldn't work with regards to the Shiva Nikiyam for a woman today, because a woman needs to be totally clean at that nightfall before she could count the 72. You can't count half of a day. But with regards to accepting getting nevuah, it could make the point here that it could be that a person could go to the mikvah, and even though they're considered a tevul yom, someone who went to the mikvah that day, what does that mean, a tevul yom? A tevul yom is a status. Somebody went to the mikvah that day, but they still have to wait for the evening before they're totally purified. That's a concept called ha'erev shemesh. You have to wait for the nightfall to come in order for the purity to come. So what is the status of a person when they're a tevul yom? So they're in kind of this twilight zone. So, but in terms of getting a prophecy, in theory, they should be able to get that prophecy, provided they've gone to the mikvah, and that may be how one that's how you would resolve that issue. Okay, so anyways, so Moshe came up with this idea, and we're going to add on a day based on his drasha. Okay, so the question that I want to just talk about is, okay, what is the status of Moshe's drasha? Right, Moshe figured it out. So what does that mean in relation to Hashem giving those instructions? Does that mean Hashem gave those instructions and Moshe figured out what Hashem's instructions were? Or does it mean that Moshe, on his own cheshbon, came up with that, and then Hashem said, oh, Taka, that's a good idea. And therefore Hashem withheld his Shekhinah for an extra day. I mean, was it preordained? Say, are you following me, right? Was it preordained that it wasn't going to come till the next day, and Moshe just had to figure out the puzzle? And if Moshe hadn't figured out the puzzle, so then they'd be waiting an extra day, because Moshe would have gotten it wrong. Or is it that because Moshe made this rule, because Moshe made this this gezeira, this ruling, so therefore Hashem withheld his presence for an extra day in order to provide for the takana of Moshe to be over, right? Everybody got that question. So that seems to be a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. So the Ritva on that Gemara in Shabbos says, no, the matter was left vague, allowing Moshe to interpret it. And it's only because the plain meaning implies only 2 days, the decision to add a third day is attributed to Moshe, meaning Hashem left it vague. Because Moshe came up with that chap, so to speak, so that it sounds like, therefore Hashem delayed. Hashem said, ah, good chap, Moshe, I'll delay my presence for a little bit longer. That seems to be what the Ritva is saying on this Gemara in Shabbos. Now there is
So Hashem changed depending on what.
Well, he didn't think of it.
Yeah,
Hashem didn't think of
well,
it.
Well, I don't want to say Hashem didn't think. I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
But because of Moshe's ruling, Hashem said, "Okay, I'll come an extra day."
Meaning it wasn't planned to be an extra day, but it was only because Moshe did it. So
right.
That this isn't part of the belief that you know, the halacha is given to man, so...
Oh, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. So this is... I'll show you how this is lishitaso, meaning...
This is the halacha, though. This is actual events.
Okay. But, so halacha is also real.
It's real, but it's not events. You know...
Right, but it didn't not happen yet. I mean, Hashem then said, "Okay, fine, I'm gonna." So that's approach A. Approach two, I see an article that quotes it from the Ron Musadar of Cook edition. So I didn't have that, but he does quote also here from the Chidushi HaGaonim on the Ein Yaakov. The Ein Yaakov is a sefer that goes through the Agadatas of the Gemara. It gives you various pshatim explanations. On the side margin of the Ein Yaakov is a commentary called the Chidushi HaGadolos. Chidushi Gaonim. I'm not sure if that's referring to the era of the Gaonim or something else. But they comment there that no, that was Hashem's intent all along. So why is it Hashem? Hashem left this Kal Chomer, or left this Limud out there for Moshe to figure out, and Moshe figured it out. Why is it attributed to Moshe if that's the way that it was supposed to be the entire time? Well, it's attributed to Moshe. Moshe was the one to figure it out. But it really was there the entire time. It's not that Hashem delayed himself because of Moshe.
Could it be that Moshe was kept in the third day is the day that Hashem actually came up with the time? So 2 days, like Hashem said, and then the third day, 1 day.
No, because it was an extra day. Right? The simple explanation of the pasuk is today and tomorrow, and Hashem's going to come the day after. Instead it was today, tomorrow, and the day after, and Hashem came the day after that. So there's an extra delay there. Now he has a footnote here. I don't know who this is, from the Haggos of Elazar Moshe Horowitz. Don't know who that is, but a very interesting concept, where he says that why is it that Moshe felt compelled? Certainly within the Ritva we have this idea. Why is it that Moshe felt compelled to add these days? So he explains that all three of these gezeros that Moshe added are all based on a human shortfall, on a human shortcoming. What? I don't know. Foible sounds like it's something wrong. Not necessarily wrong, but a human shortcoming. That Hashem is able to know more precisely than what a person is able to. So he takes the first one with regards to this extra day that Moshe added. So what's the concern? The concern has to do with, well, in theory, semen could remain viable for 3 days. Doesn't mean it does remain viable for 3 days. It just could. From a human perspective, we have to be concerned that there's still viable semen for 3 days. But Hashem knows that it's not. Hashem knows that, you know, whatever men had relations with their wives on that particular night, so their semen is not viable anymore. So Hashem could say with certainty, don't worry, I'll come on Friday, right? I'll come 2 days from now, and all of the and all of the tumatara issues will be taken care of. Well, Moshe says, wait, I don't know that. I have to paskin based on whatever humans can assume. So I have to assume that there might be an extra day because of the concern about the Zera still being viable. Right. The next idea is, what's Moshe's concept of Moshe of Perish Mina Isha? The second one is Moshe separated from his wife. How do we figure that out? So Moshe said, well, if Bnei Yisrael can only get a prophecy when they haven't been with their wives for a couple of days, when they're not tummy in that way, well, Hashem could come knocking at my door at any moment. Right? The 3 a.m. phone call can always be coming. So how can I ever have relations with my wife? Because Hashem can be in the middle of that. Hashem is going to come saying, excuse me, Moshe, I need to talk to you right now. So that's a problem. So Moshe said, I have to separate from her because I always have to be available for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, okay, that's from Moshe's perspective, because Moshe doesn't know when Hashem is going to come and try to speak to him. But Hashem knows when Hashem is going to come and try to speak to him. So therefore, it wasn't Hashem's instructions to Moshe, because Hashem can, you know, act accordingly. It's Moshe's instructions to himself, plus he doesn't have the ability to make those plans. And then the third one I thought is the most interesting, and that is the idea of breaking the tablets. So Moshe, why did Moshe break the luchos? Why did he break the luchos?
I mean,
ultimately, what was his goal in breaking the luchos?
To shock
and ultimately to
save Israel from being punished.
How are they going to be saved from being punished?
Because they didn't have the.
They'll change their ways.
They'll do tshuva. All right, Moshe tried breaking the luchos in order to get the shock Bnei Yisrael into doing tshuva. So, why did Hashem not instruct him to break the luchos so that Bnei Yisrael would do tshuva? Because Hashem knew that, well, he doesn't have to break the luchos. Bnei Yisrael do tshuva in other ways. I'm not going to story Bnei Yisrael anyway. Hashem knew that. But Moshe doesn't know that. Moshe has to do whatever he thinks is necessary in order to get them to do tshuva. So therefore, that's why there's a chiddush of Moshe. Moshe had to do it based on the human perspective as opposed to the God perspective. Yeah?
Like Hashem comes on the third day, like he said he's
going to
come on the third day.
Wrong. I'm not sure. Actually, placed out here. In 16, you said? Yeah, I'm sorry. So it's a machlokas. This is a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Yossi. The Chacham don't have the need for an extra day. So Rabbi Yossi is the one. It's his pshat that has a need for an extra day. So we're really reading within Rabbi Yossi's pshat. You're correct. You're right. That it's a good catch. That's the way the Chacham read it. Rabbi Yossi doesn't read the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi says everything's taking place a day later.
I never understand when the Chacham says.
Okay, so all right, so we, so that's beyond the purview of this year. The third day from what? Well, the third day after Moshe's declaration. How do you know it's the third day from when Hashem spoke to Moshe? Maybe it's the third day after Moshe. It's the third day after the Gezerah started.
Rashi says it's Sof at the end of the third day.
Right. So again, Rashi is giving you a pshat in the Gemara, right? So a pshat in the Chumash. So that's the Chacham pshat. Rabbi Yossi has a different read in the entire. There's a whole daf here that goes through the distinct trying to understand both of those pshatim. So this Gemara is, I meant to mention this before. This Gemara is within Rabbi Yossi, but yet the rules apply. I mean, the question of, well, why would Moshe be making this chiddush? How does that make sense? And how does it make sense in the context of manipulating the way God controls the world? So that's a rule that applies to us regardless of how we paskin.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Makes sense
if he's different. Okay. Fine. Fine. So you don't have to use this Gemara. Nevertheless,
Relations for three days, including 2 days before and the day.
But that's not going to get you. That's not going to solve the problem.
It solves the problem that it happened on the third day.
No, but it doesn't solve the problem. The halachic problem of getting a prophecy if people have had relations 3 days.
That's a halachic question.
Okay. All right. So anyway, so this machlokas. This question of how to understand really ties in, as Sam picked up on this already, ties into the entire Tanur Shel Achnai story. So the Baruch Hashem, the Gemara, Daf Yomi Bava Metzia finished up. The Daf Yomi finished up Bava Metzia. Actually, the calendar says we finished up today. I think we finished 2 days ago. But perhaps the most prominent Gemara, famous Gemara, is Daf Nun Tes Amid Beis, and that is the sugi of the Tanur Shel Achnai, because everybody looked around this Tanur like a coiled snake and had a big machlokas about it, and that's what led to this machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim about whether it should be Tameh or whether it should be Tahor. Rabbi Eliezer ruled that it should be Tameh, the Chachamim felt that it should be Rabbi Elazar said that he thought it should be Tahor, and all the Chacham said that he should be Tameh. The Chacham were Machmir, and he was Mekel. And that's what Rabbi Elazar said, if the Halacha is like me, so then the carob tree should be uprooted, and Bnei Yisrael, and the Chacham said, oh, we don't pass it like carob trees. He said, oh, if the Halacha is like me, then the water should prove my point. And the water flew backward and said, oh, we don't pass it like the water. Same thing with the walls and the base medrash. And was that it, or there was one more? Until finally, a Rabbi Elazar said, "V'lochas like me, let the heaven prove it. Mina Shemayim yuchichu, let be proven from Shemayim." So Yatz the Baskel v'Amra Malachem Itzel Rabbi Elazar Shalocha Kamosu B'chol Malkum. Why are you arguing with Rabbi Elazar? We always pass and like him. Amar Rabbi Yeshua al Ragla v'Amar Lo B'Shemayim. Rabbi Yeshua got up on his feet and declared, "Lo B'Shemayim." We don't pass and like Hashem. So what does it mean, "Lo B'Shemayim"? So I'm Rabbi Yirmiya Shekvar Nitna Torah Mehar Sinai. The Torah was already given to us from Har Sinai. So in anu mashkichim bevaska, we don't pay any attention to farkas after Har Sinai. Achrei Rav Mahatas, we don't follow the baskel. We don't follow a heavenly voice because that's not how we pass in halacha. How do we pass in halacha? The pasuk tells us in Shmos in the Parshas Mishpatim. Achrei Rav Mahatas, we follow the majority. So we don't listen to the baskel. We listen to the majority. So Eshchei Rabbi Nasan Eliyahu. One time Rabbi Nasan Ben Eliyahu. Amar Lei My Avi Kutsha Brichu Bahi Shait. What was Hashem doing at that time? So Amar Lei. He said back, "Kachayich va'amar." He was laughing and saying, "Nitzchuni banai, nitzchuni banai." My children have prevailed over me. Okay, so what is that? What does that mean? So we have a similar. We see the parallel. The parallel is that Hashem had in mind one thing, and the Chachamim said, "Oh, we're going to do something else." At least that's the simple explanation of the Gemara. We're going to do something else. So how do we understand that? So one understanding is that no, the Chachamim were right, and Rabbi Eliezer was wrong. So why would it be that Hashem would send out a baskel that says Rabbi Eliezer was right? Because they don't want to make Rabbi Eliezer feel bad. That is a shita within the Rishonim. That no, the Chum were right all along, and you don't have to worry about this.
Really?
Sorry to disappoint you. Yes, that is one of the shitas. Okay, but besides that, I guess there's three other shitas that are out there that one should be aware of. So number one is a shita in the Sefer HaChinuch says it most explicitly. The Ramban says it less explicitly, but the Ramban is perhaps more prominent. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tuf Tzadi Vav. Mitzvah Tuf Tzadi Vav is the Mitzvah of Zakin Mamri, that one should not rebel one should not rebel against the Chachamim. And he says, because in order, why is it such a, and not only not to rebel against the Chachamim, but if you do rebel against the Chachamim, what happens to you? You are Chayiv Misa, and you're like the worst. That's one of the people who you're Chayiv Misa, and you're left out for everybody to see, and everybody should, because he rebelled against the Chachamim, he gets a terrible punishment. So, what's going on? So the Sefer Achinuch develops the idea that, well, if we're going to have, it's very important that we have a system. And if everybody just does exactly what they think is the correct halacha, then we're going to lose, the cohesiveness of Klal Yisrael. So therefore we have to have a system where we pass an halacha and we're going to follow the majority. Now, is that a foolproof din? Right? Does that mean that we're always going to get it right? Wow. So the Sefer Achinuch seems to imply, no, we're not get it right. Well, in theory we do. What do you mean we don't always pass like the majority?
There are instances where they have a dissenting opinion and halacha is like the dissenting opinion.
So we're, in theory, during the time when there was a Sanhedrin, we would follow the majority of the Sanhedrin. That's what it's referring to, that we gather everybody together and we have a psak on this halacha. So the pasuk tells us, "Lo tasur mimenu yamin u'smol." You can't leave to the right to the left. So v'afilu yomru l'cha, even if they tell you, "Ayamin shu u'smol," that the right is really the left. V'asmol shu yamin, the left is really the right. Lo tasur mitzvasam. Don't leave. Don't not do what they tell you to do. Kolom shafilu yohim toim b'davar. Even if they make a mistake. Says the Sefer Achinuch, what does it mean that even if they tell you go to the right is left, the left is right, we follow them anyways? Why do we follow them anyways? Because it's more important to maintain the system than to get that din right. Right? So Bruce is pretty shocked. Whoa, what we're saying is we'll paskin wrong. Well, even though it seems like we're posking the wrong thing, it's worth it. That's what the Sefer Chinuch seems to be saying, and that's the pshat that the Ramban gives on that pasuk in Devarim. Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Yud Aleph, 17:11 in Devarim. Al pi haTorah sheyiruchov, al mishpat sheyomru lcha taaseh, lo tasur min hadavar sheyagidu lcha yimin ismon. All the things they tell you to do, don't deviate to the right or to the left. Even if they tell you right, left, etc. And the Ramban elaborates on that by saying that, for he gave me the Torah to follow on base of their understanding, even if they make a mistake. And that was the whole issue with Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel with regards to the date of Yom Kippur. We know what story that's referring to. So in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, this is actually my bar mitzvah drasha, was on this story, where Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua had a disagreement about what day Yom Kippur was. Rabbi Yeshua says, I'm going to paskin like me. Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, Rabbi Yeshua was a rabbi, and Rabbi Yeshua was going to pass like himself l'chumra, meaning it sounded like he was going to fast for 2 days. That's what it sounded like he was going to do. And Rabbi Gamliel demanded that Rabbi Yeshua walk to him on Yom Kippur, which would be in violation of Tchum Shabbos, with his money belt, which would be in violation of carrying on Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua did it, and Rabbi Gamliel gave him a big kiss and was very happy that he had gone ahead and did it. Now, yes, at the end of the day, they got that didn't get him too many points. He used a lot of political capital on that issue. That is true, and that was one of the catalysts for Gamliel losing the Nesias later on in Maran Brachos in Achinami. But yet the Ramban is invoking that as saying, yeah, you had to follow that. Rabbi Yeshua was responsible for following Nasi. I pointed out in my Bar Mitzvah Drasha that Rabbi Yeshua wasn't the one who came up with that pshat. There was a different Tana who came to Rabbi Yeshua and said, you know, according to my calculations, you know, Kippur's on the wrong day. And Rabbi Yeshua said, Taka, you're right. And then they heard about that, and they made Rabbi Yeshua come. Why did they make Rabbi Yeshua come and not that other Tana? Because I forgot the name of the other Tana.
Really?
Right? But Rabbi Yeshua was important, and the other Tana was the other Tana. Yeah. So it was important in maintaining the system. Rabbi Yeshua was the much bigger fish. He was the one they made come, and not the other one. So that is a very important concept. So how do we understand this Gemara then? This Gemara, the idea of Loba Shemayim, that we're responsible for doing things according to the way we see it. Hashem doesn't paskin that way. It doesn't matter. Even though we get it wrong, it's worth it. That seems to be the pshat that the Ramban is giving, that Sefer Achinuch is giving. Next pshat.
I don't know. I'm not this. I've got the feeling going around that. Okay,
so Tosfos on that page in Maseches Bava Metzia asks the following question. He says, there is another time when we seem to listen to the Baskel in terms of Psak. Anybody know when that is? Where there's another Gemara that said, a Baskel came out saying we pass him like this person over the other person, we pass him like the Baskel. Erevin Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. That we had all the machlokas in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Baskel came out, halacha k'Beis Hillel. We pass like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. It sounds like based on that Baskel. Isn't that a violation of Lo B'Shamayim? Hey, so Tosfos says, okay, maybe. It might be, but we weren't sure anyways. I mean, there it wasn't that we are passing like the majority over the minority. It's clear what the psak should be according to the world. It wasn't clear what the psak should be according to the world. So therefore, we're going to take the Baskel into account. So how does one? So the Ritva over there in Maseches Erevin on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And the Gemara comments there. Oh, by the way, the Gemara comments there. And by the way, if we paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, why do we quote Beis Shammai all the time? Why do we care? We paskin like Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai. So the Gemara there responds by saying, no. The Gemara, this might be an outgrowth of that, but the Gemara's response is Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. That we paskin like both of them are ideas of the living Torah, and therefore they're both necessary. Yes, the idea that Beis Shammai will paskin Beis Shammai Mashiach, whatever that means, that's not explicit in the text. So Tosfos what does that mean? Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim. So Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfas. Who are the Rabbeinu Tzarfas? No. Who are the Rabbeinu Tzarfas? What's Tzarfas? Tzarfas is France. So the French rabbis asked. Now, who are the French? What are in the base medrash? What do we call the French rabbis? The French rabbinical exegesis. What do we call them? We call them the Baal HaTosfos. So the Ritva is quoting from the Baal HaTosfos, even though it doesn't seem it's not in art. At least in the footnote here, it doesn't quote from our Tosfos. He says it's in the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay, but Shalom Rabbeinu Tzarfas Heyach Efshe Shiyushneim Divrei Elokim Chayim. How could be that they're both right? Right, v'zeh osir v'zeh matir. One says osir, one says matir. How can they both be right? V'tertzu ki kisha'ala moshel marom lekabel Torah hareyu lo al kol davar v'davar memtes panim leisir memtes panim leheter. When Moshe went up, there were all different ways of understanding the Torah. 49 ways to asir, 49 ways to matir it. And he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu on this. And avamar shi heze moshel chach meisosh v'chol davar dervi hachra kamosim. And Hashem gave it back to Moshe and says, no, this is yours. And you'll have to paskin. Each generation will have to paskin as they see fit. So what does that mean with regards to our Gemara about Moshe paskin saying something that he's doing against Hashem? Well, as long as you're following the rules, it's contained within the Torah. There's many different ways of understanding the Torah, and it sounds like what Tosfos is saying is everybody's right. That there's many different ways of understanding and everybody is right. So what does it mean then that the Baskel came out and said we should pass like Rebbe Eliezer? So the Baskel might, that's the idea of the Rebbe Eliezer. Maybe it's just making him feel good. Or there is a Deya like Rebbe Eliezer. But yet the Chum are so convinced that they're right, they are also right. And therefore this is the concept of multiple truths. Now that's great. What? It seems like it solves this Gemara in regards to the Bava Metzia. There's multiple ways of understanding the Gemara. There's ways of understanding it Leheter, there's ways of understanding it Isser, ways of understanding it permitted, some ways of understanding it that it's prohibited. But you have a problem in that. What do you, really? That there's no absolute truth. I mean, there's no, Hashem didn't have something in mind, something specific in mind with regards to each halacha that comes and goes. So that is the Ritva's understanding. So you have the Ramban / the Sefer Achinuch on one extreme saying that no, Hashem has something in mind, and you have to paskin as you see fit, and you might be getting it wrong. That's okay if you get it wrong every once in a while, because the important thing is to preserve the system. On the other extreme, you have the Rabbeinu Tzarfas, the Baal HaTosfos, saying that no, there's multiple understandings, and you just have to figure out according to the way you see it, and paskin, you call it as you see it, but someone else might see it another way, and that's okay too. And then you have a pshat.
The third one going out.
Right, the pshat probably in the middle is the idea that the Ritva has himself a little bit earlier. in Erevin. Yeah, the Ritva on Zayin Amud Aleph quotes that idea of that not listening to the Baskel and says, "The Hasam Rabban Modulev Ilu Hacha Pliya Levasari the Halachik Beisel V'Yeshomer the Shiny Hasam Sheitris Rabbi Elazar Kineged Hamruvim Lik the Kabbalah Sam Lefichach In Mashkich the Baskel Shekfar Amatorachi Rabban Lahatos." Says that no, that's our Sak Mashi Inkim Bzu the Beisel the Fisha El Beisham Mechadei Tvei that we paskin like the Rove. Why do we paskin like the Rove? Because that defines what the halacha is. The Torah tells us that that's how you paskin the halacha. Right. You follow the Rove. Is it clear in the Torah one way or another? So, no. There's parts left in the Torah that are left for us to interpret. How do we know which interpretation is the correct one? Whatever the majority of the Rabbanim say, whatever the based in, whatever the Sanhedrin says. So that's sort of in the middle. It's saying there is one way to paskin, but it's not necessarily defined from the Torah Shebichsav itself. So those are three approaches to understand this concept of Moshe, so to speak, overriding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Either that's what Hashem had in mind the entire time, as the Gaonim are quoted in the Ein Yaakov is saying, and as it seems like is the Pshat of the Sefer HaChinuch and the Ramban, that's what they would say. You have the Barabinu Tzarfas on the other extreme saying that, well, that possibility always existed and there's other many different possibilities and we just have to figure out the way that speaks to you. Then you have a way in the middle that there's stuff that is left vague and left open for us to go in and pass. And once that psak is there, that's the psak. And that's the way that we're going to continue to arrive at a look at decisions as we move on through our each and every generation. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you.